Don't you love Hans? He just... I always kind of feel, that's my brother. Like, I'm so proud and I'm so full of love. When he starts talking about our Father and Jesus, I'm like, I'm related to him. Isn't it good that we can be like that in the body of Christ? And, you know, we don't get to choose our family, our mom or our dad or our brothers or our sisters, our biological. We didn't get to choose them. But because of the adoption of our Heavenly Father, we get to come into the joy of adoption and seeing many sons and daughters come home. And guess what? We're on the welcoming committee. We're on the welcoming committee. And in all of the ages, God's got you on the planet right now for the very reason that you would see His glory fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. If you're just hanging out to get to heaven, you're not living here with purpose. He has purpose for you right now. God has an assignment. Everyone say, God has an assignment for me to do on the earth before I die. I want to do that purpose. Where's my brother Aaron? Come here, Aaron. Before I step into the word, I just want to honor you in the house and say, job well done. And Wendy's been away in Africa for it's been nearly 2.5 weeks, but yep. She's back this week. Yep. So I just want us to stretch out our hearts towards Aaron and just bless this man because he gives and gives and gives, and you do your assignment so well, Aaron. Let's just bless our Aaron today. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, it is addictive to us, and we want to just ask for your mercy and grace upon Aaron and his family. We bless Wendy today in Africa. We bless Daphne. We declare healing, power, and glory on that mighty woman. And we pray that Wendy would attend to everything this week before she comes home. Lord, just thank you for safety. And as you put your hands up, bro, let's just speak blessing over the Salisbury family. We speak blessing over the generational blessings. Lord, let there be a cascading that comes up and that overflows into generations. The Lord says, Aaron, you are called like I called Jacob. I'm calling you to be an overflow of my presence and my love into community, into generations. And the Lord says he's anointing you for family, and he's just giving you more and more of his heart. And we as a church give you room to do the Father's heart. If you love Aaron, I want you to come and just slap him on the back. Come on. Come on out, and what we're going to do is just say yes to the Father's assignment on Aaron. Come on. Just come and slap him with favor. Lord, your hand of favor is on him. Give him a slap, a love, love, more, blessing. Yes. We're behind you. We're with you. Go, Aaron. Go, Aaron, into the Father's blessing. Whoo. Ha-ha. Strength, just declare strength in his kidneys, in his comings and his goings. Oh, in the outreaches, in the highways and the byways. Woo! Strength, strength. So good. There's still more slaps coming, bro. He hasn't had it. Yes, more, Lord, more. Double blessing. All right. If you feel led through the service to come up and hit Aaron, that has stopped. We've finished that. So, can everybody see? Is there enough light? feels dark over in pockets. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I like light. Well, today, that's it. Let there be light. Thank you. I wanted to open the curtains, but that's good. All right, here's my ticket. There's my ticket. Because we are learning to love. We are learning to love. Everybody say, I'm learning to love. All right. I'm so excited about this 24/7 thing. This is so good. Thank you for being on this. If you are not on this, is there still room for people to pick a slot? Go for it.
The slot just acts as a guide, so jump on in, pray, do whatever. It's but it's just great to feel like you know who you're praying with. That's kind of one of the reasons why we sign up. So yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
The 12 to 1 a.m. slot, Glenda Campy and Henny Veltewis. You guys are legends. Man, I am having dreams around about that time, but these guys are up praying a sacrifice. That's just blessing God's heart. Well, we're learning to love. And today I felt in my spirit to challenge us. Let's say yes to challenge. Because if we're not challenged, we're not growing. If we're not growing, we're not learning. And God wants us to come into a learning zone, doesn't he, Jason? When I'm in the comfort zone, I tend to slow down. The comfort zone is designed for you to feel comfort. It's designed for you to go, I can have a breather. But you're not designed to live in the comfort zone, which is the comfortable zone. You're called to live in the spirit zone, in the zone of the spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the last time I checked, when freedom starts showing up, chains start breaking. And prison doors start opening. And blind eyes start popping. And deaf ears start opening. And this is the exciting assignment that God has called you to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Well, what does that mean to be a doorkeeper? Is that a doorkeeper into church on Sunday? Yes, that's one way of looking at a doorkeeper. But today I want to talk about another kind of doorkeeping. And it's to do with the story of the prodigal son. So we're going to jump into Luke 15. And we're going to read together Luke 15 from chapter 15, verse 11, and we're going to read the whole chapter. Can we do that? So I'm going to ask, because I've been unwell all week, and my energy, what I have, I want to give it fully. But if there is some young adults who could come and help me read this, I need your strength. So come, some of the young adults, come up, and you guys are going to help me read this. What are you looking around going, am I a young adult? Yeah, that's you. Just get out here. Come on, come on. Aaron, you're a young adult. Come. Can I have some more? Daniel, come on. Bailey, come on. Isaac, get out here. What are you doing?
Just do two verses each and then verses each. Keep cycling through.
Just make sure you don't like start early.
You start.
Oh, I'll start. Okay.
It's like we're going to sing a song, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't sing that. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes...
We're starting with verse 11. I thought we were reading the whole...
From 11.
From 11, okay. That's okay. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me, and he divided his property between them.
Not many.
And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and this wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all these, arose a severe famine in the land, and began to be in want.
So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods, there we go, that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything.
But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.
I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. He ran and embraced him and kissed him.
And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put it a ring in his hand, and sandals on his feet.
Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field when he came. Intermission. Sorry, y'all. Near the house, he heard music and dancing.
So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him.
But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your commandment. Yet you have gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.'
And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'"
Well done, gentlemen. You can take up a seat. I love that you guys all brought your Bibles to church today, and you read that so finely, so well. So, in this story of the prodigal son, we have an interesting story here. This is a window into the father's heart. This is a view. In this parable, it's a looking in to see what's important to our father, to see what's on father's heart. But it also reveals what's in the heart of the two sons. And we can quickly and clearly see the first son, the youngest son, says, "I want my inheritance." And it says the father divided up the inheritance. So in Jewish culture, many of us know that the eldest son or the eldest would receive double. And that wasn't because they looked nicer or they were more favored in a respect, because they had greater responsibility. And why did they get double? Because they were the aged pension for mom and dad. So there was no Centrelink in the Bible. There was no pension. There was no fallback. When you stopped working as a couple, you became older. It was upon your firstborn to provide, to look after you so that you had that peace of mind. So that was, in a way, that's what we see in our culture today, that we have children looking after their parents who are from an Asian community, and let's say Chinese. Teresa, is this true in Chinese culture that it's important for the children to look after the parents? It's very strong. It's very, very strong. And in other cultures, we see this as well. But in this Jewish culture and in the context of this story, it's very interesting. God, the father is dividing up the inheritance and apportioning it. Maybe it looked like two-thirds to the older brother and one-third to the younger brother. I don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe it's not that important. So the younger brother, the younger son, takes the cash and, as we read, goes out and squanders it. Absolutely squanders it on loose living. And one of the things that's interesting here is that we've learned, when we talk about finances, the difference between wealth and cash or inflow. When wealth becomes liquid, we call it liquid assets, we turn it into cash. And when you have cash, you have the ability to buy and sell, transact. And who knows, when you've sold that asset, maybe you sold that car, you've got 10 grand, or you've sold a piece of land and you've got that money set aside, how quickly, when it changes from dirt to cash, it runs away. It wants to run away. It just quickly moves away. So, but this guy, he's got liquid estate. His whole inheritance has been dumped into his pockets. They are heavy with gold. He's got a bag full of gold, and he is about to press the party button, and, you know, the golden buzzer just kind of like, boom, gold, party! Everyone comes, because now he is the guy everyone wants to hang out with. So as he's like, doom, 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 there's a... All night long, you know, sleep, crash, his friends waking up going, let's do it again. And he's like, can you put some money in? No, we've got nothing. That's the ride. It's on me. The drinks are on me. Golden buzzer. So while this is happening, we've got another storyline going on. Another son, the older brother, has taken up the responsibility of looking after the family home. And something's going on in this son, because, number one, he's there when father divides up the estate. He's there. And he's aware of the younger brother being absent. But something's going on here in this son, which is, I'm not happy about this younger brother. This little brother is a little brat. I'm left here to clean up his dishes. His room, it's exactly how he left it, in a complete mess. I even went in and cleaned that one up. Dad didn't even ask me, but I just did it because it needed to be clean, because that guy's a brat. Everything's easy. He doesn't even have to work. Guess who's up this morning? I was up this morning, and I was what? Working. While he's over there partying, I'm here left doing the work. If I don't do the work, we don't eat. If we don't eat, Dad's gonna die. And if Dad's gonna die, this does not look good for me. And I better get back to work. I don't even know why I'm talking. So we have this older brother who's out in the field, who has, number one, is offended because there's someone in the family not carrying their weight. There's someone in the family It's that jolly younger kid, that younger brother, that baby of the family. Is this ringing true for any kind of, any eldest in the room? Can you relate to that moment when you've got, it feels like if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. So you go and do it, but rather than having joy in your heart, you are grinding an axe. Because one day, I'm going to take off some body limb. But I'll just tuck that away and I'll just put all my energy and effort into working and sweating and working. So let's call it a worker's syndrome. Let's call it, this older brother has a worker's syndrome. And this worker's syndrome is, I do the work because I'm going to earn my value. The younger brother is spending the value at a fast rate of knots and is living in a temporary feeling. But that money pot is getting lower and lower and lower. And we've hit zero, but guess what? We've been given a line of credit. There's another 50 grand. It's just like we go to the goes to the checkout to pay for everything, and it's like declined. And he goes, "Hang on 1 minute, Mr. Bank Manager. Can we just extend another 50,000?" "Yep, that's about the last little bit we can do for you. No worries, just put it through." Ding. Come on, more party, 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 party. But there's a day where it runs out. And Jesus is telling this story, this parable, and let's just jump back into it because there's a few things here in the parable that I want to draw out today to expose the worker syndrome. Today I want to expose the worker syndrome that becomes usually a part of the older brother. And what happens is we harden our heart towards the Father. And we miss what's in the Father's heart. We miss what's in the Father's heart. One of the things that I was learning on this is that a part of the responsibility for the eldest was to also win back estranged family members. So you were given more to make sure that there was enough to look after mom and dad, but you were also, one of your responsibilities as the oldest was any children, any of our father's sons, any of my brothers or my sisters that were away, it was incumbent on me to win them back. Do you know what that looked like? Let me retrace the older brother here, who's actually out in the paddock because he hears the music of the celebration and is so far removed from the father that he has to go, "What's going on? I don't even know what's going on at home." He is aloof. He is not present. He is not picking up the heartbeat of his father. And that was what was a responsibility as the older brother, was to carry the heart of the father for the missing son. So rather than being out in the field working and grinding, he should have been on the porch with dad, feeling father's heart and saying, "Dad, I'll go. I know where he is. I know which nightclub." I remember reading this and comparing the two sons and the brothers, and I was really praying into this. And Jesus said to me, "Do you see the third son in the story?" And I'm like, "Nope," because it says a man had two sons. I know how to count. And this says there's two sons. He says, "Yes, but there's a third brother." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Who is the third brother?" And he says to me, "It's the narrator." I just want to brag on Jesus for a minute, and then we'll come back to the story. We were just worshiping him. Wasn't it beautiful in the presence of the Lord today? And I just want to thank the worship team again, just leading us before the presence of the Lord. And all hail King Jesus and just his blessing. I just want to brag on Jesus because he is perfect in who he is. He is perfection. Jesus is so perfect. And why he is such a perfect son is because he perfectly knows his Father. His perfection is defined or expressed because of his perfect knowing of his Father. And you could imagine that he is the light of the world, and light can travel. Remember, we've talked about this. Light travels very, very fast. But as the light of the world, he stops in the face of his Father, and he fully knows his Father. He knows the heartbeat of the Father. He is so intimately aware of his Father. He is in such a place of identity and connection with the Father that he's in the boat that Hans was talking about. Nothing in this world, when he was on the planet for 33 years, nothing on this planet was a surprise to him. He was so secure. He wasn't afraid of his life being taken. He knew it wouldn't end there. But where was he? He was resting in the Father's love. And so here is Jesus. He is not being murdered on the cross. He is choosing as the older brother to win back the lost, estranged kids. He is saying, I know my Father's heart and I don't want to have to die. This is a little bit inconvenient. This is going to cost me my life. I'm going to have to pour out my blood for this, but I perfectly know my Father and I know how loving he is. I know how kind he is. Not what I want, but what you want. And he chooses. He is the perfect older brother. How many of us in the party world, completely unaware that Jesus' blood was poured out, paying a price because of his love for me. As the older brother, he's got every reason to pull me up by my neck and saying, Andrew, you are such a bad brother. Do you know how much you've hurt your dad?
I didn't even know I had a dad.
Well, you do. And he's angry. Really, really angry. Is that the heart of the son that we see through the teachings and the life of Jesus? We don't see him angry with the lost brothers. We see him angrier with the older brother who has missed the whole heart of the Father. And he's pleading, as it is in the verse, in the last verses of chapter 31. And he said to him, Son, you have always been with me. All that is mine is yours. It just says here that the father was pleading with the older brother who was hard-hearted. He was pleading, just saying, I wish we could have relationship. I wish you could know my heart. I wish you could join in the celebration of this lost son coming home because of my love for him. So Jesus, seeing the love in the father, runs to the cross for us. Runs to the cross. Like it says, King David, seeing Goliath, picked up that stone and said, he ran to the enemy. Our Jesus, our older brother, runs to the cross for us, knowing that he gets to bring us home to his Father. One of the most beautiful words is when Jesus says, your Father and my Father. That is the older brother saying he loves us. And here's a prayer to pray. Our Father. If he was in the grinding an older brother syndrome, he would have said, my father who's angry in heaven, fired up and cranky is his name. He's coming for all those partiers and excessive wasters of life, and he's going to pull them into account, and he's going to grab them around the throat, and he's going to teach them a lesson and get them up early in the morning to work. The ribbon fell off. This is not the heart of our Jesus. I want to brag on the heart of our Jesus, because Jesus perfectly knows the Father, the Father's love, and he's there even on the cross, a cross he shouldn't have had to go to. He was innocent. He was perfect, but he chooses it. And on that cross, he is echoing his Father's love and cry, Father, forgive them, because I know you already have it in your heart to forgive them. Jesus, he is there interceding with the Father to bring us home. Can anybody praise Jesus with me? Does anyone want to just say thank you? Thank you. Just that is enough. And yet he goes beyond that. The title of my message today was Jesus Tours. Held daily. VIP pass to the Father's heart. Jesus wants to take us behind the scenes to get out of the crazy of this world, to get behind the scenes to say, this is our Father's heart for the world. Anyone been to Disneyland? You know, they talk about at Disneyland, there's a public place and then there's behind the scenes. And while everyone is out having fun, there are servants behind running and working to keep that thing going. In the Father's heart, in the Father's house, all of the earth is the front stage. It's what's happening. But behind the scene, we have a Heavenly Father who has a purpose, has a destiny, has a plan, has a heart full of love for every single person. And it's on the sons and the brothers and the daughters and the sisters. It's on us that he wants us to become doorkeepers in the house of the Lord. What does a doorkeeper mean? Let's jump to John 14. I'm praying today that we get set free from workers' syndrome. John 14. In my Father's house, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for... Who's the you? Is it just the 144,000 in Revelation? Is it just the 12 disciples? That'd be about the limit, wouldn't it? Bit like the ark. All right, only two of you. That'll be enough. We've got two monkeys now. No more monkeys. Aw. No monkey. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, because you know the way where I'm going. I had this cool little vision and dream, and you can come with me on this. I had this in my mind, my imagination, Jesus coming to me with backstage pass and him saying, I want to take you in. I got to show you something, Andrew. And I went with him. I kind of went through the cross. I saw it. He was his body there. I went into him, but then I kept moving through, a bit like Narnia in the wardrobe. And then I was in a dark place, and it was the tomb. It was cold. And then suddenly it was like a dawn that broke. And I went in through the light and I was suddenly with Jesus and he was taking me into the Father's heart. And Father's heart was bigger than a galaxy. Like it was a supernova of color, but it was beating like boom, boom. And light, each impulse released light and drew light in. It was like this boom, boom, boom. And there was praise that was filling his heart from the angels and those worshiping on the planet. And then as he beat out, liquid love like water was just flowing over the earth, to the earth, like a river of lava, liquid love, just. So I'm there and Jesus is like, it almost looks like he's just casual. He's like Jesus tours, you know, daily going to the Father's heart. And he's like, Zimo, you're going to love this. This is so good. And I'm like, I'm number one, I'm with Jesus. Like, you'd be busy. It's a lot of disciples you need to spend time with. He's like, no. I got time for you. No time for you. He goes, this is what I worked. This is what the cross was for. It was the hard work to bring you home. And so I'm like, let's go. So he leads me into the Father's heart and he takes me to a room. And he says, Andrew, this is the room where we thought of you. We thought of you and then we wrapped you around that thought. And this is the room. This is your Genesis. This is where it all began. Welcome home. And I'm looking around that room and I'm just seeing connections to my mom and to my dad and my grandparents and my biological history. I'm seeing things that I love and I adore that I'm like, oh, he knows me. He knows me, the bed, the window, the fireplace. I'm like, I love fireplaces. It's like my top five things in earth is just sitting around a fire. And there's like two chairs. And I'm like, who's the other chair for? And he says, that's for us. That's for us. So I'm blown away. I'm weeping. And I'm feeling in the walls of my room the heartbeat of the Father, because every now and then it's just boom, boom. The walls are moving. And the words in the heartbeat, I love you. You are my son. I see you. You are loved. And then Jesus just closing his eyes and going, Father, I love you. I see you. You are holy. You are awesome. And they're just in fellowship. And I'm just sitting there almost like just melting in. Just, wow, I feel so safe. I feel so loved. I feel so at home. And then Jesus says, all right, are you ready for the next leg of the tour? And I'm like, it couldn't get any better than this. Like, we're half an hour in and I'm done. Like, I just want to stay here. And he says, yeah. But guess what? You can come back anytime now. This is our place. This is the sacred place. And I'm going, ooh, I'm coming back. Because I'm seeing books on that bookshelf that I'm like, that's a good book right there. So Jesus says, come. I've got to show you more. And he takes me out of my room and he shows me a hallway and instantly I know what it is. Instantly I see all these other doors. And they're open with the candlelight flickering in each one. But no one's in there. And immediately John 14 came to me. In my Father's house, in my Father's heart are many rooms. And then Jesus' heart changed. And it went from joy to complete longing. And he said, Father and I have made so much room for others. They're not home yet. They don't know me. They don't know that they have a place of significance here. They don't know their value. They're spending their inheritance. But time is running out and the value is running out. And I became overwhelmed in the hallway because I couldn't see the end of the hallway. And it felt like it wrapped around. And it felt like this was, I'm like, humanity, there is a place for every single person in the Father's heart. And Jesus has been working for eternity, preparing each room. And then I saw him. We just went into one room. And I don't know whose it was. But I could just feel the care and the attention that he had prepared in that room. And he fluffed the pillow, put the rose, the flower in the vase, just breathed on it and it came alive. Opened a Bible in that room to a particular verse that he was praying for that person. And as I saw his love and care and attention for the room, suddenly I felt his heart and I was like, I need to help our father. I need to help my big brother. And I was standing at the doorway to that room. And he said, Andrew, the task is too big. Because I'm weeping. I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, I feel selfish that I just loved being in my room. I could just go back and retreat to my comfort zone or that place. And I'm looking at Jesus and I'm saying, I don't even know how I can help you. What can I do? The task is so great. How do we win back all these lost people? And he said, you don't have to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. But he said, would you be here to welcome them home? Would you be a doorkeeper to welcome your brothers and sisters home? Would you be there to experience the joy of them finding their purpose and destiny in the love? Suddenly, I'm now getting my little Jesus Tours Visit Daily shirt on. And I'm like, I can do this. Hey, Fran, welcome to the Father's heart for you. I can do that. I can be a welcomer. After I had this encounter, this dream, this vision experience, I went to work after I had my time with the Lord. I'm going to work. And I was just feeling the bigness of the work and the task. But every time I saw Jesus and the love that he felt, it didn't feel like work. It felt like I want to do this. Because the love is so big and great and inspiring. And he said to me, now you know what fueled me for the cross. Oh, man. And he said, Andrew, I haven't even really unlavished his love on you yet. I'm just going slow. I'm leading you in. But he keeps saying things like, as you see me, you see the Father. That's what he's saying to his disciples. As you learn from me, L for learn, learn love. As you learn love from me, we can do this together. And suddenly I felt a part of the plan. I got a job to do. I'm excited. I'm now on the tour operating team that's visiting daily, the Father's heart, daily tours. We've got a slot for you. When would you like to come, Sarah? Really? Right now? Yeah, you can come and encounter the Father's love right now. Oh, what do I need to do? Nothing. Just believe that he loves you. I go to work, and I'm kind of getting back into the grind and all the jobs, and it's heavy, you know what it's like, emails. I'm like, oh my gosh, where's the younger brother? You know, he should be doing this stuff. No, not at all. But I'm feeling this love and this joy, and I have 3 appointments this day. And this is what shifted, and this is where I feel God is going to corporately shift us. My appointment came in, and I'm starting to pick up the Father's heart for this person. I don't even care if they're a Christian or they're not a Christian. I don't give a rip. But they've got a place in the Father's heart. So suddenly I'm just picking up this, boom, boom. I'm like, whoa, he really loves this person. I don't feel like a worker right now. I don't feel like I was at Aaron's discipleship class and he had to really like, Andrew, you got to preach the gospel. And I'm like, I promise I will. Go over and door knock now. I don't want to. Better go, okay. Dun, 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 dun. Do you know Jim? And suddenly I'm feeling the liquid lava of the Lord, but it's subtle. It's not over the top. It's just a subtle thought. And then they're talking and I'm going into the room that God has for them, and I'm just seeing some things. And then I'm like, Lord, I just need some wisdom right now as an accountant in my job to just kind of extend the Father's love to them in a way that's appropriate. That's not going to be like that weird, kooky accountant. I was coming to do my taxes, and he was crying. Jesus tours, visits daily. And things coming out of their mouth, like, I didn't know what to expect today. And this is the end of the time. I didn't know what to expect today. I certainly didn't think this was going to... How did you know that? How did you know that about me? Do you know my psychologist? Do you know my counselor? Wrapped up that meeting, and we did tax stuff, like we actually helped them. You know, I did the job and just threw in a bit of bonus Father's love on the side. And then the next appointment, like this one's walking out the door, the next one's coming in, and oh my gosh, I'm like, here we go again. Oh. And it's like, boom, and it's completely different. It's like, wow, this is what Father feels for this person. And he's got a purpose and a destiny, and it's like, wow. I'm literally, this person's there, I'm like, hi, how are you going? They're great. I'm like, wow, look at you. And they're like, what do you mean, look at me? I'm like, I'm feeling God's heart. He loves them so much. I'm not looking at the pig poo. Meat pie pig poo dribble down their shirt. I'm feeling the Father's love. It's like, kill the fatted calf, man. Get the best robe for my son. He feels this for every single heart-beating human on the planet. By my third appointment, this guy comes in, and I know he's saved. I know he's got a relationship with the Lord, but I just start talking. I said, we've done the thing. I said, how's your heart going? How are you going? Opened up, began to share. And he said, you know what? I just feel like the older brother in the prodigal son story. I said, talk to me. He goes, I'm angry. I feel numb. No one's doing anything. And he said, and I'm so cynical. Every time I connect with people, I know they should be saved, but what comes out of my mouth is like, you want to get healed, but you're eating Doritos. I want to give them a lecture. I don't want to give them love. I want to give them a slap around the head. They need a punishment. And I'm like, this sounds like older brother. He says, would you pray for me? And I said, you know what? I want to pray for you. I get this word from the Lord. You know this, the parable where it says, the king had a servant who owed him a lot of money, and he asked to repay it, or he would die or be thrown into prison. And he begged, and he said, please, master, forgive me of my $10 million that I owe you. It says, and the master forgave him of the $10 million. And as he was walking home, his own servant came to him who owed him $10. And the middleman, the forgiven ruler, grabs the servant by the throat and says, pay back every $10 or I'm going to kill you. That just comes to me immediately. And I'm like, well, this is a heavy word, Aaron, to like, you know, how do I relate this? This is part of the wisdom in the spirit. We get these things from God, but how do we connect that to a son or a daughter? How do we do that? And I'm just asking the Lord, and he's just like, he's not the one who needs to, he's not the one doing this. He's had it done to him. He's the guy that had the 10 bucks, and he's had abuse from authority. He's been abused by authority, and he's been choked around the neck and told to pay up the 10 bucks. So I'm suddenly seeing he's an abused person. And then I had another picture, and I shared those pictures. He's like, that's exactly me. I said, would you let me pray for you? Do you know how easy this is? Like, it's easy, but it's hard because it's the heart of the Father. And the hardness is the pain of the longing of the Father on the porch. The Father is on the porch. And the third son, who's the narrator, is with the Father in the Father's heart, feeling that heartbeat. In fact, he is the fatted calf. Go and kill the fatted calf. That's the heart of Jesus in there to be only, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the way. You can only come to the Father through me. But he is the perfect, he is the guy we got to go through, because guess what? He built with the Father every room. Hebrews 3 says that Jesus built every room in the Father's house. He's done a lot of building and a lot of preparing. I want you to capture this today. John 14, I go and prepare a place for you. There is a place in the Father's heart. Siri, you will not get it. I'm sure I don't understand. You will not get it, Siri. You are not... John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm just not going to have a vacant room. I want you here with me in the Father's heart. I want you. Everybody say, he wants me. Jesus has made room for us in the Father's heart. He has prepared a place. What is this place that he's prepared for us? What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? This room is a real room. This place is a real place. It exists. It's not just heaven when you die. This passage of Scripture is not about after death. This is a now place. What is this place? This place is a womb room. It's a place of your origin, your Genesis, the place that he thought of you and dreamed you up. He thought you into existence in that room. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he mentioned being born from above. He's talking about being birthed in that place. That's the womb room. It's a place of secret. King David talks about my hiding place, my place of refuge. The Lord is my strong tower. He's talking about a room. He's talking about a place. It's a dwelling place. Jesus talks about it as the secret place. He says, when you go and pray, go where? Go into the secret place. And who sees you there? That is where your heavenly Father sees you. And what he sees, he will reward you. He will reward you. The Lord spoke to me and he said, I want to deliver my people from a worker's syndrome. I think Heidi Baker famously said, lovers outdo workers. I want to speak to us as the older brothers today, because many of us we've grown up in church and we've heard the story, but how many of the younger ones have we seen go off and they're doing whatever the heck they want out there, living their party life? But if you feel cynical, you feel cold, you feel hard, you know what? We need to ask Jesus to give us his eyes for the Father's heart, that we would see the way that he sees. Man, when I saw how much love he has for every person, every room is ready, prepared, waiting. The thought that Father doesn't sleep at night, he's staying up, waiting and longing for his kids to come home. You know, it says, and when the Father saw him from a long way off, he ran. He couldn't wait any longer. His dream was coming true. Jesus in John 14 says, if this was not so, I wouldn't be here blowing this up. I wouldn't want to lead you up the garden path. And this is a real place, the Father's heart. Gary, I wonder if you could put on some instrumental, soft instrumental music. And normally the worship team come back up, but I just want to release them today. And I know we've got to finish soon. But the Lord said to me, I want to release the older brothers from workers' syndrome. The worker was like out in the field doing the work, but was out of touch with the Father's heart. Today is a call.